Welcome to episode 6 of Solving Puzzles. This has been a review of the 78th Mizmor, combined with insights relative to it that can be gleaned from Yeshaya, Isaiah 25 through 30. And if you recall, in our last program, we reviewed what Yeshaya had to say to his people, to Yisrael and to Yehudim. And it was that at this time, it is essential that they open up their doors and their lives to what he referred to as the righteous goy, as the person from a different ethnicity that is right, who is valid and vindicating. He went on to refer to this individual using the same terminology that Yahweh inspired Solomon to use during the dedication ceremony 3,000 years ago for the house of Yahweh's name, Nakri. It means my observant foreigner. He is speaking to you today, the one that the prophets have spoken has arrived, and he is encouraging you to listen. So we're going to reprise where we have been and then proceed through the 78th Mizmor, now that we understand specifically who it is that Yahweh has called to solve this puzzle, to put all of the pieces that he has presented together for the first time so that his people can understand who he is, what he is offering, and what he is expecting in return for the first time. The text reads, "This is a call to be circumspect, to understand, and to prosper as a result, for the purpose of opening the storehouse and valuing the treasures that are found inside. My people, you should choose to listen and to respond to my Torah teaching and guidance. Please, of your own volition, incline and extend your ears to the words of my mouth, which I will open to convey mashal proverbs, word pictures that are being formed for you to understand. I will profusely and prolifically pour out riddles to be solved, challenging puzzles to stimulate your thinking, all from long ago." This is Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, Psalm 78, 1 and 2. Profoundly important for Israel today. The revelation that Yahweh provided to his people through his prophets between 2,500 and 2,450 years ago, over that 1,000-year period, have unfortunately been jumbled up by Jews being overtly religious. God gave you every piece of the puzzle. He put them all together for you. He laid them all face out on the table. And by choosing to be religious as opposed to engaging in the relationship, the chosen people have chosen to jumble all of the puzzle pieces up, to disconnect them, to toss them here and there without purpose, without plan. And they have all but obliterated the picture that God painted of himself and of the relationship he wishes to offer us through his son. And therefore, it is time, because there is very little time left, to once again put these pieces back together in their correct places. And to do so, it's more than simply translating the Torah correctly. It's more than just providing commentary on the Torah so that you understand the context in which it was delivered and what was occurring at the time. It's more than just explaining each of the words that are used in that translation so that you have a better perspective on the hues that God is using and the shapes and the tones to convey this essential message to us. It is more than just having an appreciation of how the prophet spoke specifically about these things that must be fulfilled in the Torah. You know, the prophet's providing the timeline so that we might know when the events that are important to you and to Yahweh will transpire. It is by taking the entire puzzle, coming up with the appropriate frame, putting each of the pieces together, each of the components that comprise this marvelous portrait. And then when they are all together, which I was able to do through writing these 35 books that sit behind me, then it's time to share the result, which is what we're doing on these programs. So if you see, Yahweh has said this very clearly, and yet I don't think one person ever has explained it correctly. He began to say that he is going to convey word pictures, mashal, and that he is going to pour out through these word pictures puzzles to be solved, riddles to stimulate our thinking. This is how God chose to communicate with us. And now, for the first time, these riddles have been resolved. This puzzle has been solved. The picture is now available for you to see and appreciate your place in it. Now, that's an extraordinary resolution at an extraordinary time. And he's saying that this puzzle that he provided was offered long ago. But as we have learned, the resolution of it is just happening now. Now, you may question God's approach. Fair enough. You may say that I think that God should have been more direct, simple in his presentation. Some would say a summary version. You know, give us the, used to be called Cliff Notes. I don't know if they even exist anymore. Which was, if you didn't have the time to read the whole book, you read the Cliff Notes, and 10% of the time, they would spew out all the plot and all the interesting and important things that are being revealed along the way. You were prepared to take the test, but you didn't have the enjoyment of reading the story and allowing the author to take you on a journey through your mind. Yahweh has provided that, but very few people have paid attention to him and viewed it from the proper perspective. So the pieces are all jumbled. And you know, I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have written me, say, you know, come on, you've got all these books. Well, even one of them is too long. I don't have the time for all of this. Why don't you just give me the short version? You know, how many people say that that they'll write and say, you know, I don't care about all your books. Just tell me what I want to know. Answer my questions. And my answer is always the same. Yahweh doesn't have a short version. Why should I? Yahweh doesn't answer one question out of context. So why should I do what he does not do? I suspect that God could have come up with a much more simplistic version to his covenant. Rather than going through the whole Abraham narrative, he could have just said, walk away from your country, from religion and politics, from the family of man, and from human customs. And once you have done that, then walk to me and allow me to perfect you by attending and understanding, benefiting from Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. And That way I can adopt you into my family. And while you are doing that, stop trusting the, excuse me, the religious and political alternatives in your life and rely upon me, such that as a result of all of this, you, through closely examining, carefully considering all aspects of this family covenant relationship, can respond appropriately, and you will then understand why the sign of the covenant is circumcision, and you will circumcise your sons on the eighth day. And if you do that, then I will make you immortal through Pesach. I will perfect you on matzah. I will then adopt you into my family on Bukkudim, firstborn children, where I will enrich and empower you. Therefore, the terms and conditions of the covenant are mirrored in the Mikre. Have a nice day. I'll see you at the end of your life. No need for Abraham. No need for Moshe. No need for the Torah. Just spew it right out. There it is. What, that took me a minute or two to deliver? There's your clip notes. Now what? Who's Yahweh? Why would you want to spend your eternity with him? Where is eternity going to be spent? Where are you going? Why would you want to go there? What proof do you have that any of this is real? How do you trust something you don't understand? How do you participate in something that you don't even know who you're engaging with? And let's just say that God made the slimmed down version, that he reduced all of his Torah and prophets and Psalms, and it was just him chiseling this one thing on a really big rock someplace so that you could read it. And he dispensed with working through people. You know, no Adam, no Chawa, no Noach and family, no Abraham and Sarah, no Yishak and Jacob, no Leah and Rachel, no Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, no embittered children of Yisrael, no Samuel, no Dod. Okay. And what's the context of all of this? What was the purpose that God created the universe and authored life? If he is going to simply write it in stone and then walk away, what's the purpose? Now, didn't he manifest the purpose by choosing to work through people? Didn't he show us what he's all about by choosing a particular ethnicity and saying, "You're my family. I'm going to show the good, bad, and ugly right through you based upon the way you respond and the way I respond to you based upon that"? If it was just a simple data dump, then what would be the purpose of having minds? Why bother to even talk? Why form a relationship? Why think? How would heaven under those circumstances in eternity be any different than the hellish conditions that we experience here on earth, where virtually every human family is fractured, every religion is diabolical, politics have been all about enslaving your neighbors and controlling and fleecing your those that are in your own fiefdom or community? How would we be any different? As I say, I spend my early morning and my evening in social media on X in particular, and I want to tell you, it's hell out there. It's just miserable what people are saying. Everybody is yelling, no one's listening. There aren't five people on the planet that understand, and that might be a generous. Okay, well, a covenant family here is actually in the hundreds, so okay, there's a few more than that. But there's only a score of you that are active in on X. So maybe it's that's the number. If God did it that way, that would be the result. And there, it's more than just a filtering mechanism for Yahweh to have conveyed word pictures that are in a puzzle form that we are then invited to piece together to understand. And therefore, once we see the completed picture, we can convey it and respond to it. There's a tremendous amount of satisfaction doing that work, solving the puzzle. I mean, if the jigsaw puzzle came in the box already assembled, what's the point? If life was about starting off where you end, what have you gained by going through it? If everybody ends up in the same place, what's the value of work or sacrifice or making a decision to do one thing versus another? And there's also the issue that if God did not make this entire puzzle available, but yet not resolved until now, then the rabbis in particular that have created Judaism and those who have perpetrated the fraud of Christianity and, of course, Islam would not have been able to do so. And what they would have created are lies that are much closer to the truth. And you might say, well, it would be better if Christianity, you know, had Dod David as the Messiah and the Son of God fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and it was closer to the truth, and they just had a New Testament that was trading Jews for Goy and Israel for the church. Well, then wouldn't that be better? No, it wouldn't. You know, what if in Judaism, rather than having Rabbi Akiva foist another false Messiah on the people with Bar Kokhba and inviting the wrath of Rome, that they had recognized that Dod was here and he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, but they still erased Yahweh's name and they still denied the fulfillment of, well, any of the Mikra. And they claimed that there was a oral Torah, now the Talmud, that had more weight than the original Torah. Wouldn't that be better? At least it'd be closer to the truth, right? No. The closer the fraud is to the truth, the more credible the lie becomes. It doesn't make the lie true. A counterfeit bill is 99.99999% identical to the authentic one that it's copying, but it is still a complete and worthless, actually criminal fraud. The same thing would be true with all of this. So God had to keep it from being solved until there was just enough time left to convey the results to those who are willing to listen, but not corrupt the truth. This is one of the reasons, by the way, I posted on the Facebook page that we are going to begin a new series. We have finished Dod's Song, and I like to keep three going concurrently. Ultimately, I'd like to have four and add a review of Islam, because it's really important that God's people know who is trying to destroy them, and they stop lashing out at symptoms and making a bad situation worse. And so I've decided to replace Dod's Song, since we finished it, with Katzir, Harvest, because they are the most timely and relevant events in the lives of God's people. And they explain exactly, you know, how to participate if you want to join us. Excuse me, in those harvests. But on the Craig Wynn Facebook page, the other thing that I suggested is that on Family Hour tonight, rather than beginning tonight with Katzir Harvest, we could continue to fumigate the hive. And that 70-page document, which destroys the those who decided that it would be appropriate to undermine my credibility on behalf of Yahweh, and the role that Yahweh has prophetically pronounced that I should fulfill on behalf of his people so that they too could speak for God and, well, in their case, for Spirit Mom, that I could continue to fumigate the hive with that 70-page document that destroys the hive with their own words compared to God's words. My hope was just to that they've gone dark, and so to move on past that, but I may not be able to do so. Not only because when I look at the last 3 weeks when I have dealt with the hive, the listenership of those shows is anywhere from 4 to 5 times greater than the listenership to shows that I like a lot more, like on Dode's Song. But, or even here, like Solving Riddles, this last one was really good. But, well, that's my preference. Your preference is to understand what really happened in this rebellious mutiny and in this Miriam embittered contentiousness. And in Family Hour, it's my job, on, at least on that program, to give you what you want or what you think you need and want closure on this. But the reason that we will go there if we do tonight is that anytime somebody is close to the truth but yet warps it and causes dissension as a result of doing so, they become a horrible pest as it relates to Yahweh's purpose. And that's specifically what the hive has done. They've taken everything they have learned from me, from everything from transliterations to insights and translations. They've taken it all and then twisted and corrupted it so that they could demean the one that Yahweh chose to deliver this message, which would have a very negative effect on the ultimate outcome. And have decided that they will do anything so that long as they have their own voice and can pretend to be speaking for Spirit Mom. That's exceedingly dangerous, exceedingly counterproductive. And the closer they are to the truth while still corrupting it, while disregarding Yahweh's approach, the more important it becomes to fumigate that approach, whether they are hiding in a hive anymore or they have a new name for themselves, maybe even a new name for their God. So that's one of the reasons why it's important to understand God has not given people a long time to corrupt this presentation. You know, we began just about a month ago speaking directly to you rather than writing another book. Those books are done. They're available to you at yadayah.com. And now it's appropriate that I tell you precisely what God wants you to know so that you can capitalize on the completed puzzle. And there is so little time left now that God's less concerned about those who would corrupt and rearrange the pieces of the puzzle that he has provided for us. So God's going to open his mouth in word pictures, and he will profusely and prolifically pour out riddles to be solved, challenging puzzles to stimulate our thinking from long ago. This is something that actually I've celebrated from the outset of our journey together. Although there was a period of time where I did question Yahweh. This would have to go back now probably 15 or 16 years where I said, okay, God, I'm beginning to understand how the Mikre serve as the essential points in time to show how you are fulfilling your plan on schedule and how the first of the Moed Mikre serve to provide the benefits of the covenant. And I'm beginning to see how the story of Abraham delineates the conditions for participation in the covenant, and the Mikre explain the fulfillment and the deliverance of those benefits. So beginning to see how this picture fits together, and ultimately then was able to see how Dode is the centerpiece of all of this, that he is the greater luminary, that he is the Passover lamb, that he is our Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the not only the exemplar of the covenant, it was through his collaborative effort with Dode that Yahweh made the covenant possible. So over time, we began to see all these pieces fit together. And yeah, there was a time when I said, God, couldn't you have made it just a little bit easier? I mean, now, can you imagine how much background information I have to provide to your family to explain what you've done, how you've done it, when you've achieved this, and through whom? I mean, you've made this quite the challenge here to get all of this across to your people who have been led to believe that none of it's true. You know, they don't even want to hear your name. They don't want to hear that God has a son. They don't want to hear that the Messiah is Dode. They don't want to hear that their religion is false. They don't want to hear that there is, that Christianity was nothing but a crude counterfeit. They don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear that they are now less than 2 years away from the time of Jacob's troubles. They don't want to hear that they're going to be abandoned by the United States. They don't want to hear that times are going to get worse for Jews than they were during the Holocaust. They don't want to hear that they're lashing out at symptoms, and by using bullets and bombs against Hamas and Hezbollah, all they've really done is made the situation worse. Man, yeah, well, you haven't exactly made it easy. All by design. He doesn't want it to be easy. He wants it to be a filter. He only wants you in his family and home if you're willing to invest the time to learn, if your mind is open and receptive, if you are a thoughtful individual. And then once you know these things, you're willing to engage and work with him. Well, the bottom line is solving puzzles is rewarding, particularly this one. Now, the pieces to this conundrum have been available, as God said, for a very long time, but unfortunately, they have been mostly kept tucked away and seldom considered. By contrast, we had done the opposite, and after examining every facet of every word from many perspectives, I took the time to arrange them together and then place them where they belong. The picture hidden for millennia is now visible for all to see. But even then, it's instruction after instruction, the terms of what is being offered and the conditions of what is expected, line after line in another language, a little guidance from one location and more teaching from another place. So while there are millions of pieces to this puzzle, there are now a sufficient number of completed sections to it. And I would dare say that sometime in mid to late December, the entire puzzle was completed for the first time. So they're now in position. And if there's something more to be learned, it's more just about shining a light on a certain part of that puzzle to help you have a better focus as to what's going to occur next and how you can be part of the solution. And so the portrait is large, the presentation is extensive, and those who are in a hurry, who want an answer without embarking on this journey, will never see it. Thankfully, Yahweh made it clear enough to me that I could begin each of these series of books by saying, we're going on a long journey of discovery. We're going to journey through time and space using words to come to a place few have ever gone. I didn't say it was going to be quick. I did not say it was going to be easy. And it is not. And God designed it just that way. It may come as a surprise to many, but while God could be, matter of fact, he was not. And he actually opposes the ramifications of being completely forthright regarding what he is offering, because it's way too problematic. If Yahweh served up the way to him in a pamphlet with a short list of believe and you'll be saved, heaven would be so filled with thoughtless, self-serving, religious nincompoops that life there would be no different than we are currently experiencing on earth, and that is not a way that anyone wants to spend their eternity. Therefore, there is a labyrinth. And while the way to Yahweh is straightforward, even in that labyrinth, it has blocked and papered, has been so blocked, I should say, and papered over by countless religious myths, all of which are now framed by grand edifices. There's a lot for us to tear down to plow through that maze. Should a person be lost in one of them, they must find a way out and then be redirected with the proper path laid out before them. When we come to see how all of the pieces, though, nestle together and create this beautiful portrait of our God and witness the picture for the first time, and even better, share it, there is a tremendous sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. Our involvement in determining how everything blends into the whole and then assembling each component, it brings us into the scene itself that we are observing. This is the difference between being tossed the keys, say, of a Ferrari at 16 years old and having worked for a more sensible ride. The Torah, the Prophets, and Psalms are filled with chida, riddles to be solved, challenging puzzles to stimulate our thinking, fascinating enigmas to be resolved, hidden insights to be known, questions to be answered, conundrums to be investigated and understood. None of it is particularly difficult. I mean, obviously I did it, so couldn't be that hard, right? But there are a lot of pieces laid out on an exceedingly large table, and retaining the proper perspective while remaining focused on the portrait that is being put together, well, it was obviously sufficiently difficult that I was the first person to do it in 2,500 years. And now I'm offering it to you for nothing more than the cost of some of your time and the willingness to allow me into your homes and into your lives to share it with you. Now, it is true that I may have been significantly aided and equipped along the way, so that I'm certainly not in a position to brag that I was the first to assemble this puzzle. And I wouldn't brag just because of the fact that as I look through it now, it was so obvious where all the pieces fit together. God told us as clearly as words allow. But in this case, as we learned from Yeshaya 11, the fact of the matter is that Yahweh wasn't taking any chances this time. He offered his choder, his Nakri, this cool voice at this time, the Bashar Herald, his seven spirits, something he has never done before. There'd be no chance for failure. It is important to know that had Yahweh laid out for us, presenting the covenant as his top priority and then enumerated each requirement, it would have been more of a lecture than a lively conversation. As it is now, we stand beside Abraham with similar choices to make. and we develop a meaningful relationship with God in the process. Has God itemized his plan of reconciliation, openly revealing exactly what each of the seven invitations to be called out and meet represent in our lives, then, and then stated that they comprise the lone path to him? What incentive would there have been to look any deeper or understand how these things actually are integrated into the conditions of the covenant, or how Yahweh used his beloved son to fulfill them, or used his son's herald to complete them? Wouldn't you want to know more? God could have spoon-fed us all the answers, but without questions to ponder and to resolve, how would we grow through that process? Would we just stay babies? There would have been no voyage of discovery, no reason to explore, no thrill associated with learning something new. And then what would we do with eternity? Do you think we're just going to sit there on fluffy sofas eating bonbons and looking at the stars? Or are we going to explore them? Yeah, there's only, 400 billion galaxies that average about 400 billion stars apiece, each with a score of planets. Are you just going to say, yeah, that one's pretty over there. We'll have another bonbon, please. No. And that's just the big part of the picture. Then there's life to examine, to explore, to enjoy. And then there's the inner workings of all of this and how gluons and quarks are all put together with subatomic particles such that energy can be organized into matter, and to see how all of these component pieces fit together and understand the language and the structure that Yahweh used to transition from energy to matter and then back from matter to energy, so that we can make that same transition as we want to enjoy a peaceful moment under the starlight on a distant world, or just a good meal or a lovely song. The incentive for looking deeper and understanding is the very essence of what God is looking for in eternity. It's part of the reasons we've done the In the Garden series, so that we can understand what Yahweh did with Adam, because it's what he wants to do with us. It's important that those who choose to be part of the covenant family love exploration. They love the thrill of learning something new. You know, we're going to find out if we do our continuation of the fumigation of the hive, that one of their great beefs with me is that I've had to correct my books many times. The more I've learned along the way, the more I've realized that things that I've said in the past need to be repositioned one way or another, and different things emphasized. And they say, well, you know, if you were Yahweh's guy, but we're admitting you're Yahweh's guy because we know you're Yahweh's guy, but nonetheless, you wouldn't have taken us through multiple rewrites. What part of learning don't you get? You know, for example, science is a process. It's not an end result. Learning is a process. The more you work at it, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you know. The more you know, the more you're capable of understanding. The more you understand, you'll look at the things that you knew long ago and say, wow, I've grown a lot since then. You know, if you didn't go through this process, wouldn't you be like the person who never knows, never learns, never goes beyond what they were when they were 4 years old? I love four-year-olds, but there's a real limit to what a four-year-old can know, can articulate, can achieve. And so we grow, we mature, we become more than we are. The more we learn, the more we grow, the more we study, the more we understand. And that is the process. And it is the process forever. And if it were not that way, then engaging to know Yahweh better would be a whole lot less fun. So Yahweh could have said that my formula is 6 plus 1, which equates to 7, but then who would have endeavored to figure out what each number represents, or how it applies to each of the candles on the menorah, or each of the 7 Moed Mikre, or each of the 7 epochs of time between the garden or back to the garden, or that man is a carbon-based life form with the atomic number of 6 created on the 6th day, in addition to God, who is one, is his idea of perfection. Now, he could have told us that Adam and Chawa were expelled from the garden in year 0 Yah, and that Noah was born to build the ark in year 1000 Yah. Well, we know that the covenant was confirmed with Abraham in year 2000 Yah, and that Dod was immortalized in the 89th Mizmor, becoming the cornerstone of the covenant home in year 3000 Yah. We're afforded to figure this out. We were given the chance by God to prove that Satan was wrong. We are worthy of his affection. He was right in creating us. We can aspire to be what he envisioned of us long ago. We can value his words. We can go where they lead. We can learn. We can grow. We can be fun to be with. We can share and build a family together. We can figure this out. We've come to recognize that Dod fulfilled the first 3, Moed Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, and Mukodim, and even made the 4th and 5th Shabuah and Teruah possible in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE. And we know that Yahweh will return with his son on Yom Kippurim in year 6000 Yah. And largely as a result of what Yahweh and Eliyah achieve as a result of the sacrifice of the Adam HaParah, and how it prepares this remnant of Yisrael for the family reunion. We know that the day of reconciliations, when Yahweh is going to return, will occur at 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem on October 2nd, 2033, which is year 6000 Yah, because 33 CE was year 4000 Yah. And we know that is the year because Dod, as Gabriel, God's most capable and competent man, told us precisely when he was going to arrive to fulfill Matzah, Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, Chag Matzah, in year 4000 Yah, in his visit with Daniel. And we've done the math. We could figure it out. He gave us everything we would know to resolve the puzzle, to be ready for his return, to participate in the harvest, to benefit from the sacrifice of the Adam HaParah, to be there celebrating Yahweh's name and the contributions of our Messiah on the day of reconciliations, so that we are among those who are invited back into the garden on Sukkah. Not deadbeats, not faithful, not religious, not political, not still mired in this ugly world that we have made, turning what God gave us that was so beautiful into something now so twisted and perverted. Now, considering these things on a universal scale, we have used even the CMB, the cosmic microwave background radiation from the Big Bang. We've recognized that Yahweh coined the term Big Bang 3,000 400 years before man came up with the idea. And we know that relativity, as it was discovered by Albert Einstein, that when we combine these things with the 14 billion year age of the universe, with the 6 days of creation, we recognize that they're exactly the same measure of time. That 6 24-hour days relative to an observer at creation is 16 billion years using the relative clocks, because the CMB is stretched 10 to the 12th power. It's all there for us to figure out. We've been given the tools to solve the puzzle. We can even identify the Burkle impact crater responsible for the rising tide of deep sea water, which instigated the flood, because the Torah gave us the clue that it would be the upwelling of deep sea water. And we were even told where it occurs. And now we can even see the sediment, 12 feet of sediment all the way up through Mesopotamia, turning the Black Sea from fresh water to salt water at exactly this time, gushing out through the Bosphorus Straits into the Mediterranean. It's all there for us to see exactly where, when, and why Yahweh presented it to us. He even used the word Hamas to tell us what he was ridding the world of, telling us that this story is also prophetic. We now know that the first three Mikra collectively provide the covenant's benefits, and we know how they were augmented during the, such that the fourth Moed is now possible. The challenge of solving such enigmas using the details to paint, that God used to paint the larger picture, turning something perplexing into something profound, is mentally stimulating. The joy comes from piecing the clues together to solve the puzzle. It's not unlike the game of dot to dot that I've shared with you in the past. I relished it as a child, where we connect all of the seemingly unrelated points on a page in the proper order, and a picture emerges. After all, what fun would a jigsaw puzzle be, as I shared with you, if you open the box and it was already pre-assembled? Do you want to be in the business of disassembling it? Had God provided each of us with a perfect copy of his Torah, translated into our favorite language, literally inserting it into our brains for perfect processing and complete recall, we would have been relegated to being programmed robots. It is why one of the arguments that the Hive has used against me is that I took the time to translate the Quran and the book of Ezekiel, which are both satanic tomes, to explain them as satanic tomes to help save God's people from, of course, being destroyed before they can be saved. And I have not translated the entire Torah, even though I've translated most of the Torah and have written copiously about the things that are most important aspects of it. And they somehow think that it's simply by rendering the words accurately that people would understand more than they would by focusing on the things that are the most important aspects of this picture and explaining them. God prefers explanations. So God did not plug in a perfect copy of his Torah. I'm not even sure it would have done us any good. And if he had done so, then we would have been relegated without choice. Our lives would have been short-circuited. God would have made a mockery of free will while destroying the relationship that he sought to build. So life is about growing. And growing is about learning. And perhaps that's why Chayda and Chaya are related. There is no Chaya, life, salvation, or restoration for those unwilling to Chayda, seek the answers to life's questions. It is the reason that students study. It is what drives the scientist to seek answers. It is the mother of invention It is what fuels progress. It is what shaped this picture that I am sharing with you. As Dode writes the lyrics to this psalm, he now transitions from Yah's perspective to his own, now demonstrating his acceptance of what God has just revealed. A little wonder he would also have enjoyed resolving life's great enigmas. As a matter of fact, he is the centerpiece of this puzzle. This is all part of and related to what we have heard and what we have come to know. Yada. Our fathers communicated to us in writing. We will not conceal this from our children or from the children of the last generation, so that they have a written record which is documented in a series of books, revealing Yahweh's positive attributes and listing his exceptional deeds and offering appreciation. With his unwavering determination and enormous empowerment, his influence, resolve, and ability to accomplish what needs to be done, prevailing in peace and in war, he has done awesomely wonderful things, fulfilling his amazing promises at great personal cost to provide the benefits of the relationship. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, Psalm 78, 4. It was actually 3 and 4. There are times when we read a passage, and I can honestly tell you that Dode could have been speaking of himself, that Dode could have been speaking of Yahweh, or that Dode could have been speaking of what Yahweh would achieve through his herald on behalf of his son. And in this particular case, every word of this applies all three ways. And it is because of the fact that it applies all three ways that it should get our attention in the here and now. And that is how it was designed. Dode is calling our attention to the one who solved the puzzle. Yahweh wants his people to see it. Dode needs his people to see it so that the homecoming on Yom Kippurim is a marvelous success. This is all part of and related to solving the puzzle, appreciating the big picture. It is all part of and related to what we have heard and what we have come to know about Yada. Asher, Shama, Yada. Asher is the word that brought us all together in the first place. It's the first word Dode wrote in his first Mizmor Psalm. It is the operative word that brought me into the greatest prophecy ever revealed, which is in 2 Samuel 7, which is all about Yahweh's, what Yahweh has and will accomplish through his son, our king, Dode. And here it is used to introduce this thought. It is all part of, it is all related to what we have heard, Shama, Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael, to Yada, so that you can come to know. The reason that Yada was able to put together this puzzle about the relationship and that you should now listen to him is that our fathers communicated to us in writing. La Shafar, La Akanu. Yes, they did. And it was by reading, studying, translating, explaining, being inspired by the words that were scribed by Moshe, Yahusha ben Nun, by Samuel, by Dod himself, by Yashaya, by Yirmiyah, by Hosha, by Chabauk, by Yoel, by Zechariah, by Malachi, that we've been able to assemble the pieces of this puzzle. Because they were in writing, and because we began in an entirely written format, such that now we're in a position to convey this picture with words. No, the writing was not concealed. And in addition to that, it's not just that the writing was not concealed from the children of the last generation, although it was hidden and Dod knew it. He was a prophet from every generation of Israelites, essentially from the time of the last prophet of Malachi, and to a large extent, even from after his son delivered the commencement address at the dedication of Yahweh's home, that from that point on, the big picture was concealed, but it is not now concealed to the children of the last generation, La Dor Acharon. So this puzzle, this word picture that is being resolved by Yada, is being done because he has studied the words that were written down so that it wouldn't be concealed to the last generation, because that is the essence of it. This is now the time when you need to listen and come home, Yisrael, because there are far too few tomorrows. The end is very near. Less than 2 years from the Shavuah harvest. Less than 9 from the Teruah gleaning. Yes, indeed, less than 9 from Dod's return. And so the solution to the puzzle was not concealed from the children of the last generation. And that is so that they would have a written record which is documented in a series of books. I present the books. They are not only here behind me and within me, but also at yadaya.com. They are the essential component of our outreach on Facebook, on X, on YouTube, on Rumble. Go there. Bask in this fullness of this picture. Capitalize upon it. Grow as a result of it. Engage and share based upon what you learn. Yes, now, they have a written record which is documented in a series of books, all of which reveal Yahweh's name and his positive attributes, listing his exceptional achievements while showing our appreciation. First time Yahweh's name was reintroduced to his people. It's the first time that the great accomplishments of Yahweh have all been delineated so that you can capitalize and show your appreciation. First time, Yahweh can be known based upon his words and how he revealed himself. And indeed, it is Yahweh's unwavering determination. It is Dod's unwavering commitment. It is now the influence of Yahweh's 7 Ruach that has provided the resolve to accomplish what needs to be done so that we will prevail. Yes, Dode has done, Yahweh has done, and I have also engaged to do these awesomely wonderful things, fulfilling God's tremendous promises. And yes, it has come at a personal cost. I've devoted every waking hour for 23 years, and I will continue to do so right to the end. Dode gave his very last ounce of devotion to us as he fulfilled Pesach and Matzah en route to Bukurim. Yahweh has been there for his people, even when his people erased his name, denounced his son, and spit in their faces, told them to go away and shut up, preferring to listen to their rabbis instead. He has been here even as Christianity did a smear campaign against his son, creating a crude counterfeit to besmirch the reputation of Dode. He has been there as Satan himself created Islam to murder Jews, to rob them of their land and of the promises that God has made to his people. He's been there through it all. And now he is no longer silent. He has chosen a voice, a herald for his son, someone who was willing to invest the time to solve the puzzle and then share it with you. I am Yada, and this has been the Yahweh Blog.